Now, Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com.
AM up and down. You're listening to Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1.com. It is with much pleasure, and I can't tell you how excited I am to introduce our next guest, former Texas A&M coach and 2012 College Football Hall of Fame inductee, R.C. Slocum. Coach Slocum, how are we doing this morning?
Good morning. It's a great day in Texas today. A lot of excitement.
Absolutely. I wouldn't expect you to answer the phone either way, being excited. I called you yesterday and I said, hey, Coach, you know, we're on at 6 to 8 in the morning. Is that going to be too early? And what'd you tell me?
I tell you, not too many ball coaches or old ball coaches lying around that bed in the morning. We usually get up and at them. After you do it your whole life, it doesn't matter if you're coaching or not. You want to get up and see what's going on.
Hey, Coach, you said there's a lot of excitement out in Texas. Of course, there's a lot of excitement back here in Tuscaloosa. And when you think of these two programs, Texas A&M and the University of Alabama, it's like we have been linked throughout our sports history, but now we're finally meeting each other on the field. Do you think this can become one of the next great rivalries in college football?
I really do, because as you mentioned there, there's been a long history, you know, with Coach Bryant having been here and a whole bunch of our guys that, you know, John David Crow is a Heisman Trophy winner for Coach Bryant that played here. And so forever Aggies have kept up with Alabama. And then Gene Stallings played here and coached here and then was at Alabama. So I think there's always been Aggies have kind of pulled far Alabama. That's the only change now, I think, that for years Aggies were pulling, of course, for A&M, but they're also pulling for Alabama. So now they got to decide one way or the other, and I think it'll make it a special thing. Paul Jr. over the years has been very gracious about coming back around here. He was a young man, little boy on campus when his dad coached here. He's over there, and I had the opportunity last year, John David and I sat in the box with Paul Jr. at the Alabama game, and that was a special treat, too. Really nice man, and there's just been strong feelings forever between these two schools.
College Football Hall of Famer Coach R.C. Slocum. Coach Slocum, you look at Texas A&M, you guys were in the Southwest Conference and the Big 12, and now finally to the SEC. What has it meant to A&M as a whole to be a part of the SEC?
Oh, it's been without a doubt a great boost to our programs, all of our programs, and the SEC is clearly the best league in college athletics. And I think culturally we fit. We're a land grant institution. I think we're Southerners at heart. We believe in a lot of the traditions of what's made this country great, and I think we fit there. I think it's a win-win. They're great for us, and I think we're a good addition to the SEC.
Coach, I'm not wanting you to compare Big 12 versus SEC, but when you look at the talent that Texas A&M is facing week in and week out, would you say that they're now facing more of that NFL-type talent week in? And what is going to be the impact in terms of the program moving forward?
Well, I think you're exactly right, and that's not just somebody's opinion. If you look at the draft picks from the NFL and the numbers of players in the league, you can say with certainty that there are more NFL caliber players in that league based on the draft. I think it will help our recruiting. It's been my experience over the years that they're really great players. Envision themselves going to the NFL, and they like to play with the best. They like to compete against the best and play with the best. So I think it will enhance our recruiting. I think it's already helping our recruiting. And there are a lot of good football players in the state of Texas. There were people early on, some of the people maybe that didn't want to go to the SEC were concerned that we would open a floodgate into Texas of Texas players, SEC recruiting here. I never felt that was the case because there are a bunch of great players throughout the South. And it makes no sense for Georgia to come over and spend a lot of time in Texas or Alabama or Florida, because there's a whole bunch of great players back over there that, like the Texas players, it's attractive for them to stay there close to home so their families can drive up and watch them play. You know, so I don't see that happening at all, but I do think it will enhance our recruiting.
Former Texas A&M head coach R.C. Slocum. Coach Slocum, 123 career victories. You never had a losing season at A&M. When you look back on all those, I mean, that is an impressive stat. Never had a losing season. You had 5-10-win seasons. What is there a victory that really stands out in your mind that you can put your finger on and say, man, that was the victory? That was the one I'm going to remember.
Well, there's some of them that were kind of giggly, happy, excited memories. One that was not like that, that was a significant win, was in 1999 when we had the bonfire tragedy. And we lost those young people that were killed in that bonfire. That game was one that I felt more pressure as a coach to win. We were playing Texas, was ranked number 5 in the nation, and they were coming to College Station, and we just had to win that game. And that's one that stands out in my mind as the most memorable, to upset them and have our people here for that game. We actually talked about maybe not playing the game, and talking with our administration, we all felt like our students and fans would be better here together and drawing some strength from each other than they would be home. So we went ahead and played the game and won the game. So that one stands out. But, you know, winning the Big 12 championship in double overtime in 98, that was a fun one there, though.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned you felt a lot of pressure. When you took over the A&M program, sanctions, NCAA, probation, you had a quote. I want to read that to you and then get your thoughts on this potential situation at Oklahoma State. "I wouldn't trade winning another game or two for my reputation as a person. I've said from day one I'm going to do things the way I think they should be done. There were those who said, if you don't cheat, you're pretty naive. You can't win that way. Well, we're going to find out. That's the way we're going to do it. I can walk away and look myself in the mirror and say, we did it the right way." 123 wins later, the winningest coach in Texas A&M history, and now you're looking at what's going on potentially at Oklahoma State and other programs around the country. What are your thoughts on college football in that term?
Well, the biggest thing, overriding thing I had was that I had a bunch of young men entrusted to me, and I thought and still believe the single most important thing that I would do as a coach would be what I would do in terms of the lessons that I would help teach those young men and what they become as a result of having been involved in our football program. And I wanted to be able to look them in the eye and look their parents in the eye. And now, in the position I'm in now, I've been out of coaching 10 years, and to be able to see those guys and know that I can look them in the eye and say, you know, I didn't teach you how to cheat. I didn't teach you how to break rules. I tried to make you a better man, and that's the rewarding thing. If seldom a day goes by that I don't hear from those young people. And so that's the lasting important. And it's really, I have a concern about athletics, not just college athletics, but high school and on, that in this age, it's very easy to lose the focus of why we really have athletics, how we justify, you know, the lessons that young people can learn from being a part of a team, learning to respect other people, learning to play together, learning to be a supportive backup, to be the second team guard, and you're not first team, but it's not the coach's fault. It's that you need to get better and you need to be supportive of the guy ahead of you. All those lessons, if you're not careful, you can let winning and just winning at all cost. And I tell people, it's like, if you're in business, we've seen tragic examples of saying, yeah, sure, we want to make money. We want to make a profit. We have to stay in business. But we don't want to make money so badly that we'll cheat to do it, because we've had some national great examples of companies where individuals in those companies winning in their world, making more money, became the overriding issue, and they end up stepping over the line to do it.
Visiting with former Texas A&M coach, winningest coach in A&M history, R.C. Slocum. Coach, Coach Paul Bear Bryant's 100th birthday will be tomorrow. And it seems like everyone, at some point, he's kind of has been a mentor or someone to model after, what did you ever take from Coach Bryant's career that you wanted to draw from? I know there was a lot of good and a lot of bad, but did he ever personally affect your coaching style and you say, I want to model that?
Well, I was fortunate. I got to know Coach Bryant a little bit. I got to be around him a little because of the A&M connection. He actually came over here a couple of times, and I was down, and once I got to ride with him, I had a deal in Orlando at the bowl game down there at that time, the Florida Citrus Bowl at that time, had a reception thing, and I got to ride on the bus and talk A&M with him. And the one thing that stood out, those players that played for him, to this day, they admired him, loved him, respected him. And he was a hard-driven guy and drove those guys hard. But I think all of them always felt that he cared about them, was trying to help them be better people. I think he emphasized that deal, not just winning, but making them better people. And those guys, I know a bunch of them here at AM, most of them that are still alive. I was with one of them yesterday, Benny Sinclair. I spoke at a church over in Conroe yesterday, and Benny was there. And those guys love Coach Bryant. So to me, the thing I would take away is coach in such a way that the young men that play for you respect you and admire you, and that you have a positive influence on their life.
Coach, I had the opportunity to be at the University of Alabama during your coaching career. I was at Alabama from 88 to 92, spent 3 years under Coach Gene Stallings, and coaches said that some of those guys, the Alabama guys that are going to make it out to the game and the Texas A&M guys that are going to be at the game, are actually going to get together this weekend and just celebrate the life of Coach Bryant, and, of course, a lot of things going on out here. Now, Coach, we have to ask you, looking forward to this game, I'd just like to get your initial thoughts on this year's 2013 version of Texas A&M and the University of Alabama.
Well, you know, this season so far, I've watched both games, and, you know, I think we've kind of picked up about where we were on offense. I think we might be a little better. I think our running backs as a group are better, and I think our receivers are perhaps a little better. Our line is about what it was. So offensively, I think we're about what we were last year. We've not played so far as well on defense as we played last year. So this game will be a huge test for our defense, you know. If our defense can hold up, I think, you know, offensively we'll be able to be competitive in the ball game. But we've got to play better on defense than we've played at any time so far this year.
Visiting with College Football Hall of Famer, former Texas A&M coach R.C. Slocum. Coach Slocum, I'm not going to get into you and ask you about the Johnny Manziel situation. I'm not really interested in that. I got more respect for you than to ask you and put you on the spot. But what I would like to get your thoughts on is the paying players in college. What do you think about that model, and do you think it's time to readjust?
Well, to be honest with you, this discussion would take so long that you don't have time for it. You know,
yes,
because it's not as cut and dried as simple as some would make it out to be.
Right.
You know, there are issues in terms of, first of all, you can't just pay college football players. You'd have to pay all the athletes.
That's right.
Going back to Title IX, we asked Congress and the courts to exempt the sport of football because the uniqueness of football and the fact that football was pretty much funding all the other programs. We said exempt football, men's basketball, women's basketball, tennis, golf, swimming, track, all those, that makes perfect sense. But exempt football because we're the ones making the money to pay for the rest, and they wouldn't do that. So using that same logic, they're not going to let you just pay football players. That you're going to have to pay the whole athletic department, all the sports. And the reality is there are a lot of schools that can't do that. Some of the big ones, you know, the Alabamas, the A&Ms, those people can probably do it. But across the board, you couldn't. So now what kind of what do you have, you know, in terms of equality if you got one school giving players a cash payment every month and the other schools can't? And then if you are paying them, are they workers now? I mean, do they qualify for workman's comp?
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that.
And then if you're in the first thing, if you were paying kids, the people in Los Angeles would say, well, you know, if y'all give them $500 a month at College Station, Texas, or Tuscaloosa, we ought to be able to give them $1,000 if they're in Los Angeles, you know. So You get in all. So it's not as simple. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, but there's a whole lot of discussing and looking that has to be looked into before we jump into paying players.
Well, Coach, we got to run, but I honestly cannot thank you enough. Such a class act and great representative of Texas A&M. Thank you so much for accepting my phone call yesterday and calling me back and joining us this morning. I honestly cannot thank you enough. It's been a pleasure of mine.
Well, it's going to be fun. Some of you people are already rolling in over here. we'll try to treat them as respectfully as we were treated last year, which is really a compliment to the Alabama family. It was I heard nothing but good comments about their treatment. We'll try to return the favor.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Wow, I really don't even – it's an honor for me because this is a guy, you know, I was a player, but I was also a fan before I was a player, and I can remember him when he was at Texas A&M. And yesterday when he called me, I was somewhat starstruck because I vividly remember him on the sideline. And when we get back from break, I'd like to recap Coach Slocum and recap that interview and then kind of get our final wrap-up on the show. But we've had a great show so far. Mike Johnson, Andrew Bone, R.C. Slocum. We'll catch you guys on the other side of the break.
Tuscaloosa, this is your sports station, the home of Alabama sports, the new Tide 99.1.